Tomorrow is Labor Day. We celebrate and hopefully are thankful for jobs and employment and work to do. But a recent study found that 40% of Americans say they're overworked. 50% feel there are too many tasks to complete each week. 2/3 feel they don't have enough time for themselves or their spouse. 3/4 say they don't get to spend as much time with their kids as they would like. In reality, however, since the 1960s, work hours have actually decreased, and leisure time has gone up by almost 7 hours per week. It's hard to believe, isn't it? Our lives seem so frantic and so busy. Our days are so stressful. And as Haggai says, we put money into the bag, but there seems to be holes in it. We live at such a frantic pace. There's constant activity, constant interruptions, text messaging, emails, cell phones. We're immersed in constant noise and distractions. It's 24/7. And it has become practically impossible to get away from it. It follows us and intrudes into our lives no matter where we go or what we are doing. And we have come to the place where we cannot even stand. Simple peace and quiet. We've even come to suspect people of being either unimportant or lazy if they are not constantly busy. We complain about how we've not had a real day off in weeks, or how much work we have to do and the pressure upon us. But in our culture today, that complaining almost sounds like bragging. I'm important. I'm busy. I'm in constant demand. And we thrive on activity in our frantic lives. And in reality, we have come to like the noise, to like the fast-paced life, and we get nervous and restless when it is quiet and our smartphones are silent. And we do not know how to be still and quiet and commune with God. We look for God in the noise and the frantic activity of our lives and wonder why we do not hear his still and quiet voice. It's become true even in many worship services today. Churches seek God in the noise and the excitement rather than in the quietness of his word. As a society, we have moved from a slow agrarian lifestyle, a lifestyle that put a premium on relationships and community, face-to-face communications. And we have moved to a society that is fast-paced, goal-oriented, consumer-centered, that puts a premium on possessions and activity. And so we work 7 days a week, building affluence the like of which the world has never even seen. We live in luxury that was unthinkable to 95% of the world, actually of the people that have ever lived throughout history. But we are so busy working and accumulating and playing that we lack the time for the quiet voice of the Lord. And like the people of Israel of Haggai's day, our lives are empty. And the food and the drink are unsatisfying. And even as Christians, our lives have lost that rhythm that God has ordained for us. A rhythm that fights both the frantic pressures of life and the greed and materialism of the world around us. We've lost first the rhythm of quiet times with the Lord. The psalmist in Psalm 119, 164 says, "Seven times a day I praise you." But the typical Christian is much too busy to pray. Too busy to spend time in the scriptures. Where can we fit it in? And the urgent, the awe so important, squeezes out the eternal. The pattern for prayer times throughout the day was set in Leviticus. Under the law, there was a morning sacrifice and an evening sacrifice. And as the priests in Jerusalem would offer up these sacrifices, the people of God, wherever they were, would pause and pray as those sacrifices went up to God. But there were also regular times of prayer throughout the day, not mandated, but commonly practiced. For example, the psalmist, Psalm 1, speaks of meditating on God's word day and night. We're told that Daniel prayed three times a day. And the psalmist, seven times a day. As we move into the New Testament, this practice of regular prayer times during the day continues. Acts 3:1. Peter goes to the temple at 3 o'clock in the afternoon for afternoon prayer. Acts 10:9, he's on the roof at noon at prayer. We come to the early church fathers and we see them following the same practice. Morning prayers at 9 and noon prayers at 3 and finally evening prayers. All of this was formalized in the Anglican Book of Common Prayer. But in our busy and noisy days, our hectic and frantic lives, we don't have time. But we need the rhythm of times of prayer and quiet even more. Times to speak to God and listen to Him speak through His Word. The rhythm of prayer is something like the old sailors in the sailing ships who would regularly take compass and sextant readings of the heavens and make sure that their ship was on course to wherever they were going. Regular daily times with God and His Word and in His prayer do something similar for us in our lives. They remind us of the centrality of God. They remind us of where we're really headed, of what's ultimately important and significant. And in the din of life, allow us to hear God's quiet voice. The second break from routine that God has ordained is the weekly Sabbath. The Hebrew word Sabbath means simply rest or inactivity. The Old Testament law required that God's people refrain from work one day out of seven. And that day was the seventh day, Saturday. And it was commemorating God resting from creation on the seventh day. One day out of seven was to be a day of rest and a day of worship. Men could not go into the fields and work.
Women could not even cook. No one could walk very far, and even animals were mandated rest. Everyone rested from the business and noise of life to worship God and to listen for Him speaking to them. And families prayed and meditated together upon the Word of God. It's startling to our modern perspective, but God was so insistent upon this that anyone that violated it was put to death. It was a capital offense to break the Sabbath. Now, Christ changed this, and in the New Testament we have a completely new situation. We move from commemorating creation on Saturday to commemorating the resurrection of Jesus Christ and His triumph over death and sin on Sunday. An even greater work than that of creation. The completion of our salvation. As our society has moved away from faith in Christ and professing Christians from biblical Christianity, it's not surprising that Sunday has moved from being a day of rest, a day of worship, to just another day of commerce, of activity, and of noise. But God, in His infinite wisdom, knowing perfectly our physical and our emotional needs and frailty, our need for physical and spiritual rest, ordained a day set apart to rest from all the pressures of work and everyday life. We need ordered rest. That is how God has made us. We need it physically and mentally as well as spiritually. We need the rhythm of regular peace and quiet, of thinking about the eternal, of worshiping our God and giving thanks for His blessings and His grace. But also to learn faith, to trust God to meet our needs as we give up a day of work each week and rather listen for Him to speak to us through His Word. In God's plan for a rhythm in our lives of work and rest, there were special Sabbaths during the year as well. The law provided for 3 week-long Sabbaths every year, one in the spring, one in the summer, and one in the fall. These Old Testament week-long Sabbaths were something like camping trips. The whole family would travel to Jerusalem for the week. And we see this, by the way, when Christ was 12 years old. And you recall that the whole family headed back towards home, and Jesus stayed in Jerusalem, and the next day they came back to get Him. That's what was going on. This week of Sabbath, this week of worship as a covenant people of God, and a time of fellowship, and a time of celebrating the Lord's blessings. These were required breaks, by the way. Required breaks from the everyday normal routine of life. So there was a rhythm to the year. 6 days of labor and a day of rest and of worship. Then months of work followed by a week of rest and worship. But there was more. They also, under the Old Testament law, had the rhythm of the sabbatical year. This is a little incomprehensible to us today. Our bosses probably would not go for it. The regulations are laid down in Leviticus 25, verse 2 and following. We read this: "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I give you, then the land shall keep a Sabbath to the Lord. 6 years you shall sow your field. 6 years you shall prune your vineyard and gather its fruit. But in the seventh year, there shall be a Sabbath of solemn rest for the land, a Sabbath to the Lord. You shall neither sow your field nor prune your vineyard. Every seventh year was a year of rest. For a whole year, the land could not be worked. The vineyards could not be pruned or harvested. Life went on, but work in general was greatly reduced. You could pick food, for example, to eat, but you couldn't pick it to store. The land and the animals were all given rest. People were given time to worship, to fellowship, to reflect upon God's word and God's blessings. These various Sabbaths accomplished a number of things. Life came to a screeching halt, or at least a snail's pace, depending upon the type of Sabbath it was. People were given a break, a rest from work and normal pursuits, as were animals and even the land. And God's people were reminded of the centrality of God to their lives and the faithfulness of God in providing for them. Even when they didn't work for a whole year, God provided for their needs. Week in and week out, year in and year out, God's design was that life had a certain rhythm that broke the pressures to earn money and to accumulate wealth. The rhythm of Sabbaths would provide time to reflect on God's faithful provision, as well as giving rest to the body and to the soul. Something else that the Sabbaths did was to develop faith. To take time from work to worship and to pray, to rest, requires faith that God will still meet our needs. So a farmer, not to farm, but to trust God to provide. You know, it's not normal. It's not how we instinctively respond. No, we need to put up the hay. We need to harvest because it might rain in a day or two. To take time to worship and to pray is to build faith in the God who provides. The New Testament clearly teaches that we are not under most of these Old Testament civil and ceremonial laws. But as Christians, we still need the rhythms of rest and of worship. We need reminders that we do not live by bread alone. We still need Sabbaths to prevent or restrain the greed and materialism that saturates our culture, and to nurture faith in our God who provides for all of our needs. So how are we to think about these things as Christians and relate to them to life today as followers of Christ? Well, God set an example for us in resting from His work of creation. But Christ also, omnipotent, yet man, also rested and took time away from ministry for prayer, for rest, for fellowship. How much more do we, who are flesh and sinful humanity, need to rest our bodies and our souls? Today we still need the discipline of Sabbaths, the rhythm of work. And if a man does not work, he shall not eat, Paul says. We need to work, But we need the rhythm of work interrupted by times of rest and quiet and worship. We need to discipline ourselves to the rhythm of regular prayer, daily prayer, like Jesus, the prophets and the apostles, the psalmists. We need to spend time daily reflecting upon Scripture and praying. In the midst of the noise and the pressures of life, the temptations that draw our affections away from Christ, we need to take the time to cast these things upon God and listen to Him speak to us through His Word. As Joshua admonished God's people in the book of Joshua, this book of the law of the Bible, shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. In a world that is filled with constant noise and never-ending distractions and chaos and evil, we need times with God. We need these Sabbaths that center us on Christ. We need to discipline ourselves to daily worship as individuals and as families. It brings us to the need for the rhythm of weekly Sabbaths. Some view Sundays as hardship, even as punishment. Necessary evils. I can't work, I can't play, just do nothing. And even well-intentioned Christians shun it and repudiate it. Or some figure, if they've spent an hour in church, they've fulfilled their obligations and the requirement for the whole week. For some, even on the Lord's Day, even in services, the tyranny of the urgent invades our lives and the secular intrudes, and we respond to our voicemail, respond to our text messages, and Sundays can end up being a little different than Monday. Christian, you should embrace the discipline of weekly Sabbath. You need to see the Lord's Day as a blessing, as a delight, a time of needed rest for your body, for your mind, a time of worship, a time of fellowship with God's people, a time of ministry to others, a time to reflect and think upon the eternal rather than the temporal. Time to review priorities and values in light of Scripture and listen to the Lord speak to you through His Word. Our bodies, as well as our minds and our spirits, need breaks, need rest. Times of inactivity, Sabbaths. Sundays should be more than just a time for worship. They should be a day to refresh our whole being, our body, our soul, and our mind, to enjoy our families, to enjoy friends, to be free from the pressures of life. The Lord's Day is a gift from God for our good. We should embrace it and enjoy it. As Christians, we are people of the book. We are people of prayer. And that means that we must take time from busy and hectic lives and spend time in God's Word and in prayer. But we are also a part of God's covenant people. And so we need to build relationships within the church. If we are absorbed with work, if we have no time for God's people, that important aspect of covenant life will never be nourished. So, God commands Christians in the book of Hebrews to not forsake the assembly, as the manner of some is, he says. We need the rhythm and the discipline of the regular gathering of God's people on the Lord's Day, week in and week out, for our own well-being and the strength of our body and soul and spirit, as well as, the writer of Hebrews puts, the well-being of the whole body, of other believers, as we minister to them and encourage them. We also need the rhythm of yearly Sabbaths. Today we call them vacations. A time away from work and even home. Times of rest and inactivity. Of freedom from the tyranny of life's demands. We need breaks from the routines of life and the pressures of life. Change of scenery. Time to reflect. But we hesitate. We need to make more money. We're needed. We're important. They can't get along without me. You know, sometimes as Christians, we live more like orphans, acting like everything depends upon us, rather than like children of a Heavenly Father who loves us and cares for us and meets our every need. Even as Christians, we can become infected with materialism and the things of the world to the detriment of our souls. And we need Sabbaths to help fight that. Weekly and yearly Sabbaths are good for us in our relationships. They're good for our souls. And they're also good for our health, as well as our spiritual growth. God has given us a blessing in His Sabbaths. With the saints through the centuries, we need to realize that as Christians, our lives need rhythm. Our lives should not be all work and a little play. We need to work, but it should be interspersed with daily, weekly, and yearly times of worship, rest, reflection, and recreation. A rhythm that allows us to grow in grace and in faith. But Sabbaths are ultimately a reminder of something else. Sabbaths are a type of our spiritual rest in Christ. In His work upon Calvary that secured our salvation. The writer of Hebrews puts it this way in Hebrews 4, 8 through 11. For if Joshua had given them rest, that is, when they went into the land of promise, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. But many of our lives do not reflect this. The passage speaks of spiritual rest. Rest from striving for salvation by our own efforts. Resting rather in the finished work of Jesus Christ upon the cross of Calvary. The physical application of this is that spiritual rest should be reflected practically in our lives. A sense of mental and physical peace and quiet, relying upon God as we live lives in faith, trusting Christ. Not just for our salvation, but definitely that. But broader than that, life itself. Sabbaths are pointers to our ultimate rest in the person and work of Jesus Christ. In a world that is filled with constant activity and distractions, in a world where the gods of this age seek to distract us from the living God, the true God, and Satan seeks to keep us so busy doing good things and necessary things and important things that we don't have time to do the truly important and eternal things. Make sure that you take time. Time to be still. Time to listen to the quiet voice of God through His Word. Through the rhythm of daily, weekly, and yes, even yearly Sabbaths. May God help us enjoy the rest that we have in Christ. Shall we pray?